Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Good afternoon. Hope you are doing well. In a moment, Jerry Reynolds, Ryan in Sacktown. Kings off a 5-2 road trip. Take on the Detroit Pistons tonight. Then the Denver Nuggets coming up on Friday. Then it is right back on the road for Oklahoma City, Phoenix, and Denver. And then it is the All-Star break. Wow. Got enough basketball going on. The NBA trade deadline is tomorrow. Ryan in Sacktown is going to have a special show. I believe it's going to be beginning at 11 o'clock. We'll talk to him about that in just a couple of moments. And so we got a lot going on. We take your chats, but just waiting to connect with Jerry and have already chatted with Ryan in Sacktown. Don't expect tonight's game to be easy. Okay. I mean, you're coming off a long road trip. You're taking on a bad team, and you might be a little lethargic to start this game. Okay. So don't expect this to just be a blowout. I mean, that would be nice, but you know, generally speaking, when you come off a long road trip, you're sluggish in that first game, particularly in the first half. So it wouldn't surprise me if this game is close and then the Kings pull away at the end. All right. As promised, Jerry Reynolds here on this Wednesday, and then he'll join us at halftime. Jerry, good afternoon. How are you?
Good, Grant. How are you? A little rain here in Roseville, but we need it, so everything's good.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just talking about, you know, first of all, let's go on the road trip. I mean, 5-2, I don't care what happened in the last game. Yeah, it wasn't pretty, but 5-2 is 5-2, and there's nothing negative about that.
No, not at all. I mean, and really, like I say, anytime you could go above 500 on the road, if you do that all year long, obviously you're an elite team. So that was a good road trip. You know, I thought for three quarters, the Kings really played the Cavs pretty well, just kind of run out of gas, and the Cavs are really good. Cavs are, you know, they're one of the three or four best teams in the East right now, in the East. So they've kind of passed Philly and some of those. So
tonight, the Pistons, you know, a team that you should go right through. They're the worst team in the NBA. They are 6-43. But what do we talk about all the time? First game back after a long road trip, you can be sluggish. So this. It makes me a little bit nervous when you talk about that.
It does me too. I mean, well, we've seen it hundreds of times. I mean,
yes,
we've just seen it hundreds of times, and not just with the Kings, but with every team in the league.
Yeah,
that they come off a long road trip, and that first game back it's like they're playing in mud sometimes.
We get Mig saying hello from sunny Western Australia. Good to see Jerry. It's not good to see me. It's only good to see Jerry.
Well,
see, Jerry, you got fans down under. They only want to see you. They don't care about Grant Napier.
Well, that's great judgment on your part. That's what I'm saying.
Migs checking in from down under. So it would be Thursday, right? Thursday in Australia. All right, good. Thursday, what is it? Thursday morning in Australia? All right, just trying to keep track of that. He goes, I see you every day, Napes. All right, Migs. I appreciate that. What do you think this – I know we keep on talking about these stretches, but you look at these games coming up before the All-Star break. So you have Detroit tonight, Denver at home on Friday. Tomorrow, the Nuggets play in L.A. against the Lakers, so you're getting them on the second night of a back-to-back. Then you start a road trip in Oklahoma City. The afternoon before that, Super Bowl Sunday, by the way, the Thunder play Saturday afternoon in Dallas, so you're getting them on a second night of a back-to-back. Then Phoenix on the road, then Denver on a second night of a back-to-back. This is going to be one heck of a stretch getting into the break.
Yeah, if you could end up a little over 500 on this stretch, what, three and two? If you,
3-2 would be fabulous.
Yeah, you'd be thrilled, I think. And even though you're catching some of those teams on a back-to-back, you're catching really good teams. And so that, you know, that's just where that is. I mean, it's an advantage, but now those are teams that can win. They can win on the road and on back-to-backs. They've proven that.
I think the game on Sunday is very intriguing to me. First of all, the NBA should never have games on Super Bowl Sunday in the afternoon. Stupid. It's asinine. But with that said, the Kings have already beat the Thunder twice, albeit in Sacramento. I got to believe this is going to be a big game for the Thunder to let the Kings know that, hey, you're not better than us. I'm looking forward to that game on Sunday.
Oh, I am too. And I mean, there's no doubt about it. There'll be a little vengeance there, so to speak. And I do think, in fairness to the Thunder, they are a better team today than they were earlier in the year. They were a good team then, but you didn't really see what they've become and as a serious contender in the West. And so, but it goes both ways. I think the Kings will be really looking forward to, you know, to beating them again, because they know they're going to be at the top of the heap.
Yep. All right, we bring Ryan in Sacktown in. He's going to have the pregame show coming up at 6:30, and then he'll join us at halftime. Ryan, you a little nervous? Jerry and I are a little nervous about this one tonight. Where's your mindset going into this game against the Pistons?
I'm right there with you guys. I mean, regardless of how well or bad this team's playing, it's a brutal road trip to come off. But if there's a recipe there for this team to win a game like this, it's tonight, and it's on the inside. Sabonis' last game was 14 of 16 from inside against the Pistons. He's been dominated as of late. Can the Kings do it tonight in the paint? Maybe.
Remember what happened the last time these teams played a couple of weeks ago in Detroit? Remember that first quarter by the Pistons? What did they score, 47 points in the first quarter?
It felt like about 47, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think it was their best quarter of the year. And then obviously the Kings were able to catch up and win the game. But listen, the Kings should win this game. Obviously, the Pistons are the worst team in the NBA. They've been playing a little bit better as of late. And then we also have the other aspect of this game. It's the last game before the trade deadline, guys.
Yeah, that's interesting stuff, you know, and you just wonder if the Kings are going to be, you know, able to make a deal they like. It doesn't sound like there's going to be much activity, but you never know. You know, four or five big trades could come together all of a sudden, you know, around the league. And I know, you know, there's guys rumored to be on the trade market, but, you know, takes two to agree.
Yeah. Ryan, you've got a special show tomorrow, right? Let's let everyone know what you're going to be doing tomorrow right here on this channel.
Yeah, we're going to hop on, or I'm going to hop on at 11 o'clock Pacific, and we're going to take you right up to the trade deadline. We'll talk about the trades that are made around the league. We'll talk about whether or not the Kings make a move and where we go from there the rest of the season. And if there's any blockbuster moves, maybe we'll be able to pull one of these two in.
Yeah. Well, and the other aspect of trade deadline is, will the teams ahead of Sacramento or right behind Sacramento make moves? I tell you, a team that always seems to be busy at the trade deadline are the Dallas Mavericks, Jerry. And, you know, I'm still not sold on the Mavs, Jerry. I mean, I know that they've had trouble keeping their stars on the floor. Irving just came back and torched Brooklyn. But I'm just not sold on the Mavs when I watch them play. What's your take on them?
Well, I feel the same way. I mean, obviously, when Irving's healthy and Doncic is healthy, they're so good offensively, they can beat anybody. But it's also true that the overall roster just isn't very good. And I can see why they'd be very active or want to be very active, because they need another legitimate player, especially a big player, I think. You know, the Lively, he's a nice young rookie. Potential, but they need somebody a little better in the 4-5 position.
Yep.
I think. And but I mean, I think they're a playoff team probably, or a play-in team, but just because of those two guys, who, you know, they can go get 70 as they did last night.
Yeah. Benny, thank you for letting us know that Ryan's audio is way louder than ours. It's because Ryan wants to be heard, so he puts his mic up real loud. That's why it is. You know what, Ryan? We don't blame you for that.
Yeah, somebody once told me, act like you're talking to somebody across the room. So sorry about that. We'll work on it. Just following rules.
Yeah, no, it is kind of loud, but we can hear you loud and clear, so it's not a problem. The I look at Denver. If they're healthy, I still think they're as good as anyone in the West. Minnesota just made a trade to get Morris from the Pistons to add a little depth in the backcourt. I don't think Minnesota's going anywhere. Oklahoma, I mean, I think the four teams ahead of Sacramento are set. I still think if they stay healthy, Jerry, I think the Clippers are going to win the West this year. And by I'm talking about regular season. In other words, I think they're going to be the number one seed in the conference.
I do, too. I think they and Denver are the two best teams. Those are the two best teams. If they stay healthy, I think it's going to be hard for anybody to beat either one of them. And, you know, I think the Clippers are the most talented team, but I wouldn't bet against the defending champs. So, you know, the old Rudy Tomjanovich saying, you know, never bet against the heart of a champion, you know. And yep. I think that there is something to that.
All right. Migs says, given that Monty has already traded away a fan favorite for the good of the team with the Domas trade, is there any anxiety going into a trade deadline that he trades away Keegan for another piece? If you trade away Keegan Murray, you better get yourself a damn good player on the return. Like, you don't get anyone that you think is going to be good. You get someone that's already good. You know, as far as a fan favorite, and you did point out it was for the good of the team, Jerry knows this better than I do. You know, you don't make trades worrying about whether it's a fan favorite or not. You make a trade worrying about whether it makes your team better. Because if it makes your team better, fans will be fine that you traded away a fan favorite. If you trade away a fan favorite and your team gets worse, as a general manager, you're probably going to lose your job.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, yeah, and you know, that puts a little more pressure on it, I think, when you make a trade, when you trade away a favorite like a Tyrese Halliburton. But, you know, but as long as it makes your team stronger, which clearly the Domas trade did, not just with his own play, but how he allowed Fox to basically develop to a higher level has been instrumental in that change. So it's always like that, as you would recall, a lot of fans might have forgot, but when we traded Mitch Richmond for Chris Webber, that was not a popular trade.
Correct.
You know, at all.
No, it was not.
it became very popular, right. But it wasn't at the time. So, your point is exactly right. I mean, you make a trade to make your team better. And now, like you say, with Keegan Murray, sure, you could trade Keegan Murray if you're getting a guy 1 or 2 years older that's a proven many time All-Star. Sort of that. It's under contract. So the odds of that are so slim, they're not even odds.
Hey, listen, when the Kings traded Jay Will for Mike Bibby at first, that wasn't very popular. There were a lot of pissed off fans over that move at first.
Well, I was one of them, but that's okay. Because yep. Jay Will was the most exciting player maybe we've ever had here.
Yeah.
But I understood why. And because, you know, Doug Christie had come in and you know, Rick Adelman knew that he could handle the point as well as be an outstanding defender, and was looking for somebody just a little bit more stable than Jay Will was. And Bibby, I'm not sure he was, but it fit well.
You know, Ryan, when you look at the Kings right now, if Monty McNair makes a move, and we've talked about this, but for the folks that are joining us and have not heard our prior conversations, I think it would just be to strengthen the bench. I don't think it would have anything to do with the starters. I really don't.
Yeah, I would be shocked otherwise, Grant. Monty McNair has shown he makes calculated moves. This trade deadline, not a ton of buyers out there. So the sellers are looking for – it's a big seller's market, let's put it that way. So I think that Monty is going to be very careful with what he does with the things coming up, like the new CBA, which we talked about in past shows, which will affect how many teams in the NBA make their decisions starting as soon as this coming season.
You know, the other thing I want to point out, and again, I hate to keep on going back and forth on this, but I think it's very pertinent here. The Kings just got back yesterday, okay, from a very long road trip, including a very long flight from Cleveland. All right, at this time of the year, that is a long flight from the Eastern time zone to the Pacific. And now you play tonight and you play Friday, and then you get on a plane Saturday, okay, and you fly 3+ hours, okay, to start another road trip in Oklahoma City. And I know all teams have quirks in the schedules, and I get all of that. But I really believe this. I really believe if the Kings can get through this stretch leading up to the All-Star break without getting buried, in other words, that means a bad stretch, I think they are set up very well, guys, for this stretch run after the break. Jerry?
Oh, absolutely. You look at the schedule. If they can go over 500, just over 500, for the, you know, the All-Star break and all that, and they're
going to be fine.
They're going to be in really good shape schedule-wise. You get into March and all that. So, this is just a brutal stretch, and they got to get through it the best they can. But, anything over 500, I'd say, is just terrific.
Well, they better win tonight.
It's got to start tonight.
It has to start tonight. You're not going to be on 500 if you don't beat these guys.
Yeah. And then again, you get in Denver, Ryan, on a second night of a back-to-back after they play the Lakers. So, you have, and again, with Denver, we got to see who's going to line up on the floor. But if they have their players out on the floor, you know, they're world champs. They don't really – Michael Malone is not going to dwell on the fact that, you know, he's playing on the second night of a back-to-back. They'll be ready to play. I can guarantee you that.
No, absolutely not. They'll totally be ready to play. And I think what's really exciting to think about seeing Denver this much in such a short period of time is the level that Sabonis is playing at. It is quickly approaching some categories that the Joker is in on the season. And to see him at this high level go up against Joker coming into the All-Star break, I just think it's going to be a special matchup and a lot of fun for NBA fans and Kings fans.
Not good enough for the All-Star team, though. Jerry?
Not good enough for the All-Star team.
Yeah, it was unfair. He ought to be on there. And I would not berate anybody that's on there because they're all really outstanding players. But I just think for Sacramento, they just deserved at least one All-Star. But as usual, if they're the one exception to the whole All-Star process, it happens to be Sacramento, with where they are in standings and nobody represents them. But we've seen that before, too.
Well, I guess as a player, there's nothing you can really do about it. I know that there's a lot of contractual incentives tied in with making All-Star games and things of that nature. So, there's also a financial hit to these players as well. But I guess it is what it is. There's only so many spots. And every year, I think it's fair to say that every year there's a player or two that has a really good argument to make for being left off the team. And you can't really debate it. And I don't think we can debate Sabonis. I think most people affiliated with the league understand that he should have been on the All-Star team.
Yeah, it is one of those things that I think for guys like Sabonis, who's been a three-time All-Star, I think probably in truth is if he could have gotten the bonus money and not had to play, the thrill of being All-Star is gone to some degree. If obviously the recognition and the money is probably the most important part of that, because most guys would really prefer the time off.
The only thing about this All-Star game, and you're right about what you just said, the fact that it's in Indiana where he started his career, he's got a lot of his roots, and I think for Sabonis to be in the All-Star game in Indiana might make it sting a little bit more. Again, I may be wrong. I'm speculating on this. I don't know DeMontis. I've never talked to him. But I just got to believe that this would have been extra special for him.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. Yeah, I would think so, too. I mean, in other words, probably if it was anywhere else, I'm sure he'd really not have other than the money and the recognition. But he'd like to go back to Indiana in an All-Star game just – see former friends and spend a little time in the city. And because he was certainly highly regarded when he was there, because he made two All-Star teams there.
Yeah. Yep. William says he began his career in Oklahoma City. I didn't even remember that. Did he begin his career? I forgot that. So thank you, William, for the correction. But the point is, he flourished in Indiana, as Jerry said, as a two-time All-Star. Okay, so if we just we expect the Kings to be a little sluggish in the first quarter, correct? So, but the, you know, the Kings already found out against the Pistons. You can be down by 20 points in the first quarter, and it's no problem because they were down by 20 in the first quarter in Detroit just a couple of weeks ago.
Well, they're a team, obviously, that has trouble scoring at a lot of nights. And what you do hope for, I think, is you can't always make your shots, but you can come out with some defensive intensity and really try to make it tough on the Pistons right away to let them know they're going to be in for a long night. But because the Kings certainly can score the ball about every night. They're like anybody. Some nights the threes don't fall, but I think the key is just what kind of defensive intensity do we get early so you don't get in a hole?
You know, this is a great text from C-Dog. We have to remember that it's the NBA coaches that vote for the reserves. And C-Dog said for some reason, NBA coaches didn't believe he was good enough to be an All-Star. And that's the point that I have talked about on recent shows. That's the puzzling part. This isn't fans who you can criticize for not really – you know, being up to speed on all the things outside of the market that they live in. You can't say that about the coaches. That's the puzzling aspect of this, guys. We haven't really gotten into that, Ryan.
It's indirectly, it's a shot across the bow at the Sacramento Kings in the style of basketball that they play, and it's indirectly a shot across the bow at Domantas Sabonis and the way that he plays. I mean, certainly his style is much different than the flashy, you know, go between your legs, shoot a half court three, with 20 seconds left on the shot clock. And I don't know if the coaches just see it differently, if they think he's a beneficiary of a system, but I'm pretty sure you put Sabonis in just about any system in the NBA, he's going to be successful.
Yeah, I kind of disagree with that statement, and I'll tell you why. I think the coaches think he's an all-star. They just thought other guys were more deserving. That's all. I mean, you know, that's the bottom line on this stuff. You only pick so many. In other words, they thought, in my mind, they thought Karl Anthony Towns is better. Well, Karl Anthony Towns has been a several-time All-Star and a former number one pick. And they thought Anthony Davis, who's a former number one overall pick and many-time All-Star. I mean, so I just don't see it that way. I mean, because – yeah, they could have put him on there, and they should have. But I don't think that being beat out, let's say them choosing Karl Anthony Towns, who just has scored 60 in a game or so ago, is an insult. Or an Anthony Davis, who's been a 5-6-time, 7-time All-Star, is an insult. So I disagree with the coaches, but I don't believe any of them would tell you, not one would tell you, they don't think he's an All-Star.
Okay. That's well said. As far as Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Davis go, are they deserving to be on the team? I can't say they're not deserving to be on the team, okay? I don't believe that a team's record should be anywhere near the top of the list in determining who you vote for as an All-Star. I know fans think, well, Minnesota's got the first best record in the league or the second best in the West, whatever, and so they deserve more than one All-Star. No, I've never felt that way. It's the players. It's an All-Star game for the players, okay? Karl Anthony Towns is only better in this category than Sabonis, and that's scoring by a few points. Sabonis, across the board, is better than him in every statistical category, with the exception of free throw percentage. Anthony Davis's numbers, if you just forget about the Lakers and the fact that they're not having a good year, forget about that. If you put his numbers down on the paper, I can't argue with Anthony Davis being on the team and the number of games he's played. I guess the argument that I have is the decision, and I would love to get all the coaches in a room and be able to ask them this question. Why did you choose Towns ahead of Sabonis when Sabonis statistically is better in every category with the exception of just slight advantage for Towns in scoring? And the question I would want to know from these coaches is, did Minnesota's record influence your decision to pick Towns over Sabonis? That's the part that I want to know.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's kind of the questions to ask, and they can say, you know, where they want to, just like with Davis, they can say, well, because we could ask, well, why'd you pick Davis? Their team, they have two guys on the team, and their record is worse. And,
right.
And of course, they could say, well, that same team went to the Western Finals last year, and we know this guy more so. I don't know. I mean, I think Sabonis should have been on there before either one of them, but I'm not going to sit here and say that they're not deserving of being All-Stars, because I think they are.
I agree. They are. And I don't think last year should ever factor in to an All-Star. That's just me. I know it does. I know it does, but it shouldn't. I know it, but it shouldn't.
Damian Lillard doesn't deserve to be an All-Star in the East.
That's right. I know.
But he is, because, you know, or so, but, you know, as you know, we've seen that for years. I mean, once the guys, you know, that sort of thing. But anyway, that's all I got to say about it. I think we should have been on there, but I'm not offended that those other two guys are.
Yeah, Jared, I'm with both of you guys. I guess for me, the other question I would ask here, because I think two things can be true at once. Okay, you pick Towns, you pick Davis over Sabonis for the All-Star team. What if those were the three names in the hat for the MVP right now? Who would you vote for?
Well, I think Sabonis would get a lot more votes. There's no doubt about that. I think when you just look at it realistically, the kind of month he's had and the record of the team, he clearly should have been picked, I think, over those guys. But my point would still be, they're really good too. But as you know, I mean, probably Karl Anthony Towns would certainly be no more than second most valuable player on his own team. And and Davis is second most valuable player on his team. Now, some people could say Fox would be the most valuable on the Kings, and he was for part of the year, but really the last month he hasn't been. So, you know, I don't know. It's splitting hairs. I just think he deserved it. And that's where I'd end it with.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Don't forget, Ryan's going to be coming up with the pregame show at 6:30, and then Jerry will join both of us at halftime, and then we'll have the postgame. Also, if you have not yet subscribed to the channel, please just hit the subscribe button. That way you'll be notified whenever we do shows. You won't miss anything, because we have a lot of content coming your way. So please subscribe. You see the QR code there and all of my exclusive content and rants. But, you know, Jerry now calls me Mr. Positive, so I don't know if my rants are going to be as effective or not.
Yeah, you know, you got to mellow out just a little bit, you know, just a little bit. You know, you've been away from New York long enough, you could just kind of turn into a little redheaded mushball, you know, any day now.
Somebody wants to share an update on Scott Pollard. Yeah, I actually was just messaging Scott before we came on, and I don't think he would mind me saying this, because he has been doing social media posts, including as late as yesterday. Scott is at the hospital in Nashville at Vanderbilt, one of the leading heart centers in America, and he is going to be staying at the hospital until he gets a new heart. That could be tomorrow. It could be next week. It could be next month. You know, obviously, when we're talking about organ donors, particularly with the heart, you know, you can only get a heart when there's somebody that passes away. So I've always felt that in these situations, like, you're really hoping and praying that Scott gets a heart. But the only way he gets a heart is the misfortune of somebody else. And so it is what it is. I guess it's called life. And I don't want to get into a tangent here, but I talk to Scott every day, multiple times during the day. His spirits are up. He is hoping that he gets a heart very, very soon, because his quality of life is not very good right now. And his only chance at improving the quality of his life is with a heart. And because of his size, he needs a heart from a bigger person than, let's say, the three of us. And so we're thinking about Scott. We have our fingers crossed for him, but just know that he's in good spirits And he's very hopeful that he will be getting a new heart soon.
Yeah, yep. Great guy. I'll tell you what, that just got to pray.
That's yep, you just got to pray. And, you know, listen, not to go off, but I think it's great for the people that are organ donors that, you know, are very happy to donate their organs when they pass or what have you. And so we'll see. I'll keep you updated. I can promise you that. Scott will probably keep you updated as much as I. You can follow him on X. You can follow him on Instagram and on Facebook. His wife, Dawn, also posts updates. So that's the latest on Scott. And again, I will keep you up to date on that. All right. Back to basketball right now. 11 o'clock tomorrow. Ryan will have a special show getting you right up until the NBA trade deadline. And if there are any moves made, Ryan will have them. He'll break them down for you. And then I'll do a show tomorrow night, probably, let's say, 7 o'clock. We'll do a wrap and we'll figure out, you know, what happened. We can have a couple of hours to analyze it. And then I'll do a show tomorrow at 7. And then Friday, I'm going to be traveling to Sacramento, so I will not be on with you guys at halftime or the postgame show as the Kings take on the Nuggets. So that's the schedule upcoming. But it got, you know, if the Kings are going to go 3-2, guys, I mean, let's just call it the way it is. They're not going 3-2 if they get upset tonight. All right. This has got to be a must win in these five games. Has to be.
Yeah, it has to be. And you know, that going back to one other point, Ryan was talking about trade deadline. And thank you guys, as far as the Kings really maybe could get a little help, bench help. And I really do think that's the key now. The bench just isn't good enough. And they, you know, obviously Trey Lyles and Monk, you can count on those guys. But they need another guy, you know, that at least, I think. And so hopefully they can, you know, swing a deal that just strengthens the bench.
Yeah.
And don't, if the Kings do make a peripheral move like that, don't be upset if you don't know the name, because there's a lot of guys around the NBA that are great hands that you may not have heard of. I think the big thing is just monitoring the market. Again, the latest report, the name you've heard a lot of, Alex Caruso. The Bulls want OG Anunoby compensation right now for Alex Caruso. So that kind of tells you where the market's at. I know that's an ask, that's a want, not necessarily what they're going to get, but should be interesting. And Jerry, I think that's right. Grant, you think they strengthen the bench?
Yep, I'm with you on that. So, yeah. All right. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to wrap up this show. We'll all be back at halftime. Ryan's getting ready to do the pregame show at 6:30. And then again, halftime, and then we'll have the postgame show as the Kings take on the Detroit Pistons. Jerry, thanks as always for being with us this afternoon, and we'll talk to you in a couple hours.
Can't wait, guys.
Sounds good. And Ryan, again, for everyone else, tomorrow you'll have that special beginning at 11 o'clock, and we'll look forward to your pregame show coming up at 6:30. And everybody else, remember, this is the place to be for your Kings coverage if you don't like that. So long, everybody.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2.
We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.